Hello and welcome to Through the Bible with Les Feldick, an inspirational and informative half hour of insight into the heart of Scripture. In addition to teaching the Bible, Les is a full-time rancher, having a down-to-earth practical teaching style that makes the Bible come to life. All programs are available on audio tape, videotape, and in printed form. At the end of the program, there will be an address where you can contact the ministry. And now, here's Les Feldick with today's lesson.
Now verse 4. Jesus answered, and he said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, or I am the Messiah. Now stop a minute. Are we already seeing that? Sure we are. But to no extent that it will after that 7 years has begun. Now, I got it up here on the board again. And remember that just as soon as the Antichrist signs that seven-year treaty with the nation of Israel, this is going to tick off month by month and day by day, and it will end exactly at the end of the 7 years. Now, someone asked the question at break, well, what will the Antichrist offer to the nation of Israel that they will sign a seven-year treaty? Well, what is Israel the most hungry for tonight?
Peace.
They want peace with their neighbors. They want to be accepted in the family of nations of the world. And they have to maintain their defense structure. They have to keep their people taxed to death just to keep their enemies at bay. So if this man comes in, and he'll come, I think, out of the European community, out of the power of NATO behind him, and I think he'll come in and he will offer the nation of Israel absolute protection and a sovereignty that no one can approach. He's going to say, I'll guarantee your borders. You can dismantle your armed forces. I'll protect you. And hey, Israel's going to fall for that. Hook, line, and sinker. And on top of that, he's going to give them permission to have their temple worship, and he's going to guarantee them freedom in that. And so they will have no qualms about signing this seven-year treaty because, like I said a few weeks ago, they'll almost think he's the Antichrist if they don't indeed. But as we see Jesus unfold the events of the tribulation, remember, even though we're seeing the beginnings of it, we're seeing the great increase in earthquakes. We're already seeing the potential of famine, and we are seeing famine in places. Yet it's nothing compared to what it'll be when this 7 years begins to unfold. So he says, you can look for verse 6. You can look for wars and rumors of wars. But see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now it's amazing, I think, the world political leaders, and I feel sorry for them, they actually thought that once Russian communism fell apart, that peace was in our hands. There was no more fear of nuclear holocaust, no more fear. And what do we got? We've got more turmoil now than we had when the Russian bear was alive and well. My, when they start ticking off all of the problems that are facing our government overseas, it's mind-boggling. And so, indeed, it's going to be an explosion of discontent. There's going to be an explosion of ethnic violence, hatred, see, that have been laying dormant for years, kept under the thumb maybe of totalitarian governments, such as communism was. But if you look at the dismantled nation of Russia tonight, look at all those ethnic groups as they're coming to the fore now, and they hate one another. So this isn't hard to believe. Even though the Antichrist is going to guarantee peace for Israel, yet the world all around them is going to be under the constant conflict of wars. And then verse 7, nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, pestilences, and I honestly think AIDS is the beginning of it. I don't think they're going to find a cure for it. I think AIDS is just going to sort of always going to keep everybody's attention, but I don't think it's going to really explode until we get into the tribulation, or they, I don't like to include ourselves, we're not going to be there. But I think AIDS is just going to explode once the tribulation begins, and that's only speculation. I can't prove it other than that there will be a pestilence of some sort. Earthquakes, Not in the generally expected places, but where? In diverse places. In other words, where they're not normally accustomed to being. And we're already seeing that. My, you read the paper as much as I do, the tremendous increase in earthquakes around the planet since 1970. I think it's increased, the last I read, something like 2,200%, the number of earthquakes that are taking place now in a 12-month period compared to just 20 years ago. But we're still not there. But as soon as this 7 years begins, then all this begins to crescendo. Now, verse 8. See, here Jesus just sort of puts the frosting on the cake. All of these things that he's just mentioned are merely the, what? Beginning of sorrows. Now, the word sorrows, and I imagine it's translated a little differently in the newer translations, but I'm betting that some of them have got the word travail. Do any of you have a translation where that's used? Instead of sorrows, it's travail? Okay, I'm your lifesaver, Alice. I'm glad we at least had one, or somebody would have thought I was off in left field. But the better translation of this word sorrows is travail, because, you see, Jesus has the birth pains of a mother approaching delivery on his mind. That's the analogy, that the earth is being prepared for a delivery. And so this is why the term is used. This is all the beginning of travail. Now, all of you who have been involved with childbirth, either as mothers in the very core of it all, or fathers as onlookers, we all know that our wives and our moms, when those first signs of approaching birth approached, they weren't all that severe. They were uncomfortable, but they weren't that severe. And I'll never forget when our little ones, Iris, would say, well, she said, I'm beginning to feel it. And then a few hours later, here come another one. And she, of course, being a nurse, she knew just exactly when to go. So I never had to sit in that hospital and wait very long. But nevertheless, as you approach delivery, we all know that the birth pains increase in intensity and in their closeness together, in their proximity. All right, now as you come through this 7 years, then, this is exactly what Jesus likens it to, that the events of this wrath and vexation are going to be relatively light and maybe fairly far apart, but as you move on through that 7 years, they're going to increase in their intensity, so that by the time you get out toward the end, it's just going to be unbelievable. And that's why the last 3.5 years, Jesus will refer to as the time of great tribulation, because it's approaching the delivery. Now then, why did he use the analogy of a delivery? Because the world, the earth, is going to be delivered from the curse. That's the whole idea of this 7 years of tribulation. Satan is going to be paid off. You remember several weeks ago we talked about the scroll in Revelation chapter 5? Remember that? All right. That is the whole picture of Scripture, is that Satan is holding the mortgage on the planet. He's the god of this world tonight. The curse has been plaguing us ever since Genesis chapter 3. But the tribulation is going to pay off that mortgage. The result of the tribulation will be the delivery of the planet from the curse. And then you have the kingdom come in where it'll revert back as it was in the Garden of Eden. You see that? And so the earth has to go through its pangs of delivery. Now then, let's read on. Verse 8 again, all these things are the beginning of travail, the sign that a delivery is approaching. Then verse 9. Now remember, he's talking to the 12, and so he is directing all this primarily to the nation of Israel. And he says to the Jew in so many words, then shall they, that is, the powers that be, the rest of the world, then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted, shall kill you, you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Now, a lot of people have asked me, why have the Jews been so persecuted? Why have they been so hated? Why, even today, Whenever United Nations brings up a resolution concerning Israel, what's the vote? Well, several hundred to one, or maybe to two. The whole world just jumps on them. Anything that takes place in the nation of Israel that could take place in any other place of the world, the media doesn't even pay any attention. But as soon as it happens in Israel, it's front page news. Why? Why? It isn't because of who they are or what they are, except that they are God's covenant people. And Satan knows that. And he attacks them constantly because of their position in God's overall program. That's why the Jew is so hated. That's why he is so persecuted, is because way back there in Genesis, what did God promise Abraham? A nation of people in a geographical area over which he would be their king. All right, now here comes the very crescendo of that world's hatred in this 7 years. Let me take you back. Keep your hand here in Matthew. Go back to Jeremiah, I think it is. Chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30. Because when I say that the tribulation is primarily, not exclusively, but it's primarily the time that God is going to be pouring out his wrath and vexation upon his covenant people. Why? Because of their rebellion, because of their unbelief, because of everything that they have done contrary to God's word, to his will, and he is going to purify them in order to prepare them for the kingdom that is just around the corner. All right, verse 7 of Jeremiah chapter 30. Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 7. Well, in fact, let's go to verse 6 so we pick up a little more of the flow. Jeremiah 30, verse 6. Ask you now and see whether a man doth travail with child. Wherefore do I see every man with his hands on his loins as a woman in travail? And all faces are turned into paleness. Why? For fear, the pressures, the torture. See? Then verse 7. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of whose trouble? Jacob's trouble. See that? It is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. Now, come back on your way back to the New Testament. Stop at Zechariah again. That's that next to last book in your Old Testament. Zechariah, chapter 13. Zechariah, chapter 13. Zechariah 13, and come down to verse 8, where the prophet now writes, and it shall come to pass that in all the land, that is, the land of Israel, in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. There's your remnant aspect that's taught all through Scripture. Verse 9, God says, I will bring the third part through the fire. What fire? The fires of tribulation, testing, see? And I will refine them as silver is refined. I will try them as gold is tried. And then what will be the result? They shall call on my name, and I will hear them, and I will say, it is. Now, you remember back in Daniel, he called Israel thy people. He didn't own them. But here he says what? My people. You see the difference? Now they are responding in belief, and he can call them once again. They are my people. Now, come back quickly to Matthew 24, and hopefully I can get to the place where you can see that even Jesus said it's going to be the worst time in all of human history, and it's still ahead of us. Matthew 24. Drop down to verse 10 now. And then, in other words, during this 7 years, now we're still in the first 3.5 until we get to verse 15. So in that opening 3.5 years, they've got their temple worship. The Antichrist has guaranteed them a freedom of worship, protecting their borders, he thinks. We're going to see maybe in our next taping that he doesn't succeed. But whatever. Many shall be offended and shall betray one another, shall hate one another, and many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. Now, who is at the head of all false prophets? Satan. So it's going to be a time of tremendous satanic influence. Verse 11, many false prophets shall arise and deceive many. And then verse 12, and because iniquity, immorality, gross murders, and all the things that destroy a society, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. And then verse 13, now we got to be careful with this one. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. That's not salvation we're talking about. We're talking about physical survival. You're not talking about saved from hell or saved for heaven. He is talking about these that will survive these awful events of the tribulation, and they'll be saved. They'll come through. Now let's go back to Isaiah again. Keep your hand in Matthew 24. We're going to come right back. But go back to Isaiah 24. Isaiah 24. And for sake of time, I wish I could start all the way at verse 1, but we can't. Read that in your spare time. But now come down, if you will, to, we can take 5, I think, verse 5 and 6. Verse 5 and 6 of Isaiah 24. The earth also is defiled, and the inhabitants thereof. They have transgressed the law, they've changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. And now look at verse 6. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth, and they that dwell therein are desolate because of all the things that are happening to the planet. Therefore the inhabitants of the earth are burned, and I have to feel that it's going to probably be a nuclear holocaust in those closing days of the tribulation. The inhabitants of the earth are burned, and or but what's left? Few men are left. See, there's going to be survivors. Not many, but there will be survivors of that 7 years of Holocaust. All right, now I'll come back quickly again to Matthew 24. And now let's go on. Verse 14. Now Jesus, remember, is speaking. There hasn't been one word yet understood except from himself about the death, burial, and resurrection. Even the 12 have no comprehension that he's going to die on a cross. So be careful how you take that next verse. Everybody I've ever heard preach on it has totally taken it out of its context and twisted it all out of shape. And look what it says. In light of what I've just said, Jesus has alone revealed that he would go to the cross. No one understands that. But yet they've been preaching a gospel for 3 years. And now look what he says in verse 14. And this gospel of the kingdom. See? This gospel of the kingdom. Not the gospel of grace. We preach today the gospel of grace. But Jesus and the 12 preach the gospel of the kingdom. And he says, this gospel that we preach here in my earthly ministry, under the law, the temple operating, shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Isn't that plain? But you got to know what gospel, see? Now, I think I've got time. Come back just for a few pages in Matthew to chapter 9. Now, in just a few weeks, we're going to be coming into Matthew and study it pretty much verse by verse and chapter by chapter. But until then, just take one look here quickly in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. And you got to believe the book, not me, but believe what the book says. And in verse 35, it says, Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. Now, the gospel always meant good news. So what was the good news of the kingdom? Well, what did John the Baptist begin with? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That was the good news. The king is here. He's ready to set up the kingdom. And that became then the gospel of the kingdom. Now, in association with that gospel of the kingdom, look what also went with it. healing every sickness and every disease among the people. The two went hand in hand. You take away healing and that, and you take away the gospel of the kingdom. You take away the gospel of the kingdom, and you take away healing and miracles and so forth, because the two are synonymous. That's why Jesus performed all these miracles, because he was announcing the kingdom as at hand. All right, now let's come back quickly to Matthew 24. So the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached into all the world for a witness, and then shall the end come. In other words, now let's come back to our timeline. When the gospel of grace is ended and the church has to be taken out, the parenthesis is now closed. Even though it's been an undetermined period of time, when it's ended, it has to be taken out, because this is the time of Jacob's trouble. I told somebody the other night I could stand here and I could teach you for an hour of all the scriptural proofs that you and I as believers will not go into the tribulation. Number one reason is that you cannot mix God's dealing with the nation of Israel on covenant ground with the church. And you cannot take the church into covenant ground. You are going violently against the scriptures when you do. So in order for God to come back and deal with Israel, the time of Jacob's trouble, still on the basis of the Old Testament covenants, the church has to be out of the way. And I can show you, like I said, I could give you verses for the next hour. But now let's go on. We got 3 minutes left. Verse 15. We're not going to get very far. We'll have to wait until next program. But now in verse 15, Jesus approaches the midpoint of the tribulation. And look what he says. When you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel. Now that's why I spent so much time in Daniel 9. You remember what he said back there in verse 27? That he's going to make that seven-year treaty, and in the middle of the 7 years, he's going to cause the sacrifice and the oblation to stop. And for the abominations, that abominations is defiling it. Now look what Jesus says. He puts his stamp of approval on that prophecy. And he says, when you shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place. In other words, he's going to come from his position in Western Europe, I think, Rome or Brussels, wherever it is. And he's going to come down to Jerusalem, go into the temple that has been rebuilt, has been used now for 3.5 years, or at least part of that time. And he's going to suddenly turn on the Jew. He's going to defile the temple, probably with offering a hog, a pig, even as Antiochus did back 300 B.C. And he's going to defile the temple. That's the abomination that Daniel spoke of, and that's what Jesus is speaking of. Now Jesus said, when you see this happen. Now he's talking to the 12. So what do you suppose the 12 thought in their own mind? That it was going to happen in their lifetime. They had no idea it was going to be postponed and put clear out into the future, but it's still going to happen, see? So what we have to feel now is that he spoke to the 12. He was leaping the ages, but he was still speaking to the nation of Israel, not to the Gentile nations. This is Israel's ground. This is Jewish ground. So he says, when you see that spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, whosoever readeth, let him understand. Now, I'm not going to take time because I want to use the whole half hour on these next verses. But if for just to fill our minute that's left, come on down to verse 21. Verse 21, as Jesus now is unveiling this last 3.5 years of Daniel's 70th week. And he says, then, verse 21, for then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. Now, do you see what he's saying? Any horrible event that you can think of in past history is still nothing compared to what this last 3.5 years is going to be. The Holocaust of Hitler's Germany is awful, but it's going to be nothing compared to this final 3.5 years.
Thank you for joining us again for Through the Bible with Les Feldick. If you'd like to order audio tapes, videos, or any of our printed material, you may do so by writing Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. That's Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. Or you can call us toll-free if you'd like at 1-800-369-7856. That's 1-800-369-7856. Remember, this is a faith ministry, and your participation with us is greatly appreciated. Again, our address is Les Feldick Ministries, Route 1, Box 760, Kenta, Oklahoma, 74552. And our phone is 1-800-369-7856. Thanks again for listening, and please join us next time for Through the Bible with Les Feldick.